WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to WVUA 90.7 FM Tuscaloosa Student Section Fantasy Sports. My name is Jamie Martinez, and I'm joined by Jake Riker and Lincoln Burkhalter. Today, we will be covering Sunday's top performers, biggest busts, and surprises of the week. We'll also be going over our Monday Night Football fantasy predictions, as well as our top waiver wire pickups. Don't miss out on our perfect fantasy lineup predictions either. With all of that being said, let's get into it with our top performers. Jake, what do you got?
I'm going to head over to a divisional matchup that happened this week between the Eagles and the Commanders. I'm going to go with the wide receiver, A.J. Brown.
Oh, yeah.
A.J. Brown finally showed up as the wide receiver one in Philadelphia.
About
that
time.
We all know. I mean, we were waiting for this to happen, and A.J. Brown looked like the A.J. Brown from last year that those fantasy owners knew. He racked up 9 catches for 175 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's 38.5 points in PPR leagues. If you had A.J. Brown on your team this week, he's back.
Yeah, poor Emmanuel Forbes. 160-pound rookie corner had to go up against big boy A.J. Brown. Just not a good matchup there. Lincoln, what do you have?
Well, I mean, I feel like I got to talk about Christian McCaffrey the 900th time this season. He had 20 carries on Sunday against the Arizona Cardinals. He turned that into 106 yards on a 5.3 per carry average with 3 rushing touchdowns and 1 receiving touchdown. He had 7 catches for 71 yards through the air. It's 48.7 fantasy points. He led all players in PPR scoring this week. I mean, there's not much more to say. It's Christian McCaffrey. You expect something similar to this from him every week. It was just exceptionally good this week. So, shout out to Christian McCaffrey. If you had him on your fantasy team, if you have him on your fantasy team in general, you're probably winning a lot of games right now.
My brother actually lost with Christian McCaffrey in his lineup, but that's a whole other story. My top performers today, I'm going to go with a stack of Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, who dominated this week against the Miami Dolphins. Let's start with Josh Allen, 36.5 fantasy points with 320 yards passing, 4 passing touchdowns, and 1 rushing touchdown. He looked like the Josh Allen of old. He completely disregarded that week one performance against the Jets and has been dominating since then. And that's not to mention his wide receiver one, his partner in crime, Stephon Diggs, who had 36 fantasy points on 6 catches, 7 targets, 120 yards, and get this, 3 touchdowns. Are you serious? Against a stout Miami defense? Everybody was kind of expecting this to be a shootout, but surprisingly, Miami's offense did not show up. I'm probably going to get into that later, but the Bills dominated offense, defense, special teams. They did it all in front of their home crowd. So top performers, the stack of Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. Now let's get into our biggest surprises. Jake, who do you have?
I got 2 running backs from this week. I'm going to have to choose between one of them, and I'm going to go with the running back for the Chicago Bears, Khalil Herbert.
About time.
Now, it's not that surprisingly that someone put up fantasy numbers against the Denver Broncos.
Not at all.
I'm sorry, but Khalil Herbert has been extremely underwhelming this year, like extremely. But the Bears finally did something. They didn't win, but they started to put up fantasy points. Justin Fields looked good for once this year, but Herbert racked up 22.2 fantasy points in PPR leagues. I believe he did find the end zone as well with a touchdown, a long catch on a screen pass too. Herbert was my biggest surprise. I wasn't expecting a big week from him.
I've got David Montgomery in Detroit, another NFC North running back. Coming into the week, he was questionable with a thigh injury. He was questionable Thursday morning, the day of his game against Green Bay. He ended up being active, and despite them spending a top 15 pick on Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery rushed the ball 32 times for 121 yards and 3 touchdowns. He caught 2 passes for 20 yards. That's 34.1 fantasy points from a guy that a lot of people saw as the RB2 in that offense coming into the season. Now, granted, like, I had a general idea that he'd have a role because the Lions used multiple guys last year. They used a guy like David Montgomery last year with Jamal Williams. But I really was not expecting this big of a role, and I definitely was not expecting it in a week where he was questionable up until 12 hours before the start of the game. So shout out David Montgomery. He's now the number three running back in PPR fantasy. He's averaging 20 a game this season.
That's actually insane. Do you think Jahmyr Gibbs owners should be freaking out for the rest of the season?
I mean, it could be like DeAndre Swift from last year, just except for he's actually going to stay on the team the whole year.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. My biggest surprise this week is another Chicago Bear. I'm going to go with Cole Kmet. He had an absurd week this week against, like we already said, the Denver Broncos and their pretty unsatisfactory defense. Sorry. 27.6 fantasy points for the tight end on 9 targets, 7 catches, 85 yards, and 2 receiving touchdowns. He even had 1 rushing yard, so shout out to Cole Kmet for that. But he is somebody who not a lot of people are going to think of being a big fantasy guy, especially with Justin Fields and the way he's playing, especially as a scrambling quarterback. Komet's not going to see a ton of targets, but he did this week. He got it done. The Bears still lost, but that's not due to Cole Kmet. Hopefully he can get a larger role. He could be a nice little waiver wire pickup if the Bears continue playing this way, especially Justin Fields. But Kmet, big shout out. Hopefully he can continue playing this way. Now let's get into our busts.
I got a guy that a lot of people have as their wide receiver one, maybe wide receiver two in a lot of leagues, from the New Orleans Saints, Chris Olave.
Yep. What a guy.
I mean, Olave has been putting up solid numbers all year long so far. Week 1, 19.2 points. Week 2, 14.6. Week 3, 18.4. And then a big 1.4 points against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this week. I mean, the Tampa Bay defense isn't stellar, but it's not. He should have had a decent week at being the wide receiver one with the Saints. I mean, really, 1.4 points, but do not fret. He did still see 6 targets, which is below his average. He averages around 9.5 targets a game, so it's a little bit lower, but it's not like he only saw 1 to 2 targets this week.
Yeah.
Olave should be back on track next week with playing New England, who has a pretty good secondary with that rookie Christian Gonzalez, but
he's hurt now.
Gonzalez does not look like he's going to play. Either way, he's going to get back to himself, so don't worry, but it was a very disappointing week for Chris Olave.
Definitely. Hopefully, he's getting his bad game out of the way early. He'll be good for the rest of the season.
I mean, I got a real question mark here for Deebo Samuel. 1.6 fantasy points would be an upgrade from the 0.6 that Deebo Samuel put up on Sunday. He did not record a target, obviously didn't record a catch then. He had 3 carries for 6 yards. That's
oh, yeah.
It.
Wow.
That was the entire
stat
line. That's all he did. The previous week, he had 6 catches for 129 and a touchdown on 12 targets.
Yep.
Not a single target last Sunday.
That's what happens when Brandon Ayuk's back in the lineup.
So I don't know what happened. He was questionable coming into the week. He played, let's see, he logged 48 of a possible 55 snaps on offense and didn't see even one look from Brock Purdy. So Deebo Samuel, extremely disappointing this week. I would expect that to never happen again, probably.
Probably not.
They were probably just feeding touchdowns to stat pad Christian McCaffrey. That's what it looked like. But
yeah, it's the Cardinals. He
four
was injured.
Total touchdowns, really.
Yeah.
Really, McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Couldn't give one to Deebo.
I think they're just saving him for Dallas this week, Sunday Night Football. But let's get into my biggest disappointment. I'm going to go with who, before all the stats are put in for this week, the current RB1 in fantasy football, Raheem Mostert, did not perform at all. I know I mentioned the offense being pretty down for the Dolphins this week, and Raheem Mostert was definitely part of that. Devon Achane did not suffer whatsoever. Devon Achane had himself a day, 20-something points. Good for him. Mostert suffered. 7 attempts, 9 rushing yards. That is
it's
poor.
Putrid.
2 fumbles and 1 lost fumble, so that's not going to help you any. His saving grace was his 3 catches on 5 targets for 36 receiving yards, and that was the only benefit Raheem Mostert had to the Dolphins this week. He did not see any sort of good snap share. It was a 40-60 split. Achane saw the most of the snap share, and then Jeff Wilson's going to be back soon, so it's going to be even more of a committee. If you can still have any value in Raheem Mostert, try and trade him away. Hopefully somebody in your league thinks he's, you know, the 31-year-old injury-prone running back has some value in him after that performance. So Mostert, definitely disappointing. And that's all we have for you for the biggest busts. We're going to be right back after a short intermission for our Monday night fantasy football predictions. We'll see you soon.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to WVUA 90.7 FM Tuscaloosa Student Section Fantasy Sports. We're going to jump right into our Monday Night Football fantasy predictions for the Seattle Seahawks versus the New York Giants. We're going to start with our producer, Zach Elrod. Welcome back after last week. Let's get it going. What do you got?
I got a dog of a running back in Kenneth Walker.
Oh, yeah.
He's had two touchdowns in both of the Seahawks' last two games, and he's also coming off a 97-yard game against the Panthers. I mean, I think he has a total of 204 yards in this entire season, four touchdowns, I believe, too. This guy's just, I mean, he's a beast. You can't go wrong. And my score for the end of the game, I think it's going to be not really a high-scoring game, but I think it's still going to be fairly close. I got 17-10 Seahawks with a win.
All right, so. I like that. Low scoring, I can see it happening. Thank you, Zach. Let's get right back into it. Jake, what do you have?
I like the Kenneth Walker pick. I'm going to go with a different Seattle Seahawk, a surprising pick, I think you guys will find. I'm going to go with the rookie wide receiver out of Ohio State, Jackson Smith Njigba.
JSN.
He's had a very quiet first 3 weeks. He was a little banged up in training camp at the beginning of the year, but I think every rookie has that one game that sets them on track and shows the team that's exactly why you drafted me. I think tonight is the night where JSN proves that to Seattle, especially against the struggling Giants defense. He's the third receiver on their depth chart. I think he gets overlooked, and I think JSN has a big game. I think he finds the end zone for the first time, his first NFL touchdown, catches in between 7 to 9, I'd say, and he might even get 100 yards receiving tonight. We'll see. But I think JSN has his rookie game, rookie breakout game. And I'm going to go with the same thing with Zach. I think it's going to be a little bit low scoring. It's still going to be a close game, though. I think Seattle finds the win 22-18, pushes them to 3-1.
Wow, pretty close. Okay.
Now, I've also got a Seahawks wide receiver, but he's a decade older than JSN. I've got Tyler Lockett, the 31-year-old in Seattle. I got him going 8 catches, 68, and a touchdown tonight. I feel like every other week I watch Tyler Lockett catch like 8 to 10 passes for like 5 to 8 yards apiece before sliding to the ground to avoid getting injured. But I feel like he's going to get into the end zone tonight. I'm looking at like a 15-yard touchdown corner route. That's what I'm looking at.
Oh, yeah. That's the Tyler Lockett special.
That'd be a 20-point game if he can pull that off. And I've got the Seahawks beating the Giants with ease 24-10. I think they're a much better football team than New York this year. So I have no doubt they'll win this game.
I like the Tyler Lockett pick. There's a trend each year where Tyler Lockett just goes berserk. I understand the every other week thing, but like randomly on a primetime game, Sunday night or Monday night game, he just has this insane game.
Exactly.
It's every year. I have Lockett on my fantasy teams most years. Like there's just a random Sunday or Monday night game where he just drops 30 fantasy points. Mm-hmm. And I mean, why not tonight?
He scored like 46 last year at some point. He
exactly.
had like 54 2 years ago.
You know what, Jake? I feel like you just read my notes because I also have Tyler Lockett. You said all the stuff I was literally going to say. I think Tyler Lockett goes nuclear on Monday Night Football. He always has great primetime games. I think he goes 7 catches, 120 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a Seattle Seahawks win, 27-13. I think there's going to be a little more points put on the board. But the Giants, I think they go stagnant again without Saquon Barkley and no real wide receiver one. Nobody's really sticking out. So
respect Matt Breida and Wandell Robinson.
Yeah, no, I can't respect Matt Breida. Not since 2019. But Tyler Lockett, like you guys said, he always goes nuclear for those primetime games. And I think today's the day. I just can't have it be DK Metcalf. Neither me or Jake can. So we're going to manifest a great Tyler Lockett game today and not DK Metcalf. Now let's go to our waiver wire pickups. Not a lot of options this week, but Jake, what do you got?
Yeah, like Jamie said, not a lot of options out there. I mean, it's getting very slim. All the waiver wire league winners are pretty much on in lineups already. So I decided to go with a guy that is only rostered in, I think, 19% of leagues right now. And it's the number two kicker in fantasy football, Brett Maher. I mean, the kicker for the Rams, he's averaging 12.8 a game, which is going to win you games if you're playing against guys that their kickers only drop 4 to 5 a week, which mine is currently doing right now.
Evan McPherson.
Yep. So go pick up Brett Maher. I mean, why not? He has a little problem with missing extra points here and there, but he makes up for it. The Rams offense is putting up numbers this year. I mean, they're getting into field goal range often. They score a touchdown 61.5 times, or percent of the time, excuse me, when they get to the red zone, which you may ask, oh, well, that's not very good, Jake. Well, exactly, because fantasy kickers need field goals to get points. So 61.5% of the time, he's getting 1 point because they're finding the end zone, and the rest, he's getting you 3 to 6 points with field goals. And
oh, yeah.
Go pick him up. He might win you some games.
I want to highlight the rookie out of Stanford, wide receiver Michael Wilson. He plays for the Cardinals. You've probably never heard of him, to be completely honest. He's rostered in 1.4% of ESPN leagues.
That's crazy.
But this past week against a tough San Francisco defense on the road, he caught 7 balls for 76 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's 26 fantasy points. There's not a lot of options in Arizona right now for Josh Dobbs to throw to. So I think Michael Wilson's a really talented player, and I would, like, if you have an open roster spot and you need somebody to stash, I would consider him. And the only other guy that I want to highlight today is Jake Ferguson. I've been talking about him for a couple weeks now. He's rostered in 24.5% of leagues. He's the tight end one in Dallas. He's essentially what Dalton Schultz was for the last 3 years. 10.1, 9.8, 14.7 fantasy points the last 3 weeks. He's had 7 targets in 3 games this season. If you need a tight end, which chances are you do because the position's been pretty mediocre again this season, Jake Ferguson is a good guy to turn to in free agency.
I'm fairly certain Jake Ferguson also leads the NFL in red zone targets. So, I mean, when you look at it from that standpoint, he's going to get his touchdown at some point. So Jake Ferguson, that's another great pickup. I have a few waiver wire options, guys that are a little more rostered in some leagues, but they're all available in leagues that I'm in. I have CJ Stroud, who absolutely should not be on the free agency waiver wire. He has been one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL as a rookie. 151 passes with no interceptions. That's the most all-time for a rookie quarterback. He's already over 1,200 yards on the season through 4 games. He has been phenomenal alongside Nico Collins and Tank Dell. Damian Pierce is getting better. And this is all without 4 of their starting offensive linemen. So the Houston Texans are looking really good. They just beat up the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I think C.J. Stroud is going to continue that momentum. I also have Romeo Doubs, who has been one of the top 20 wide receivers in fantasy football, but he's getting extremely overlooked. I know a lot of people think he's probably a touchdown merchant, but this week he still had 19 fantasy points without a touchdown, thanks to Jordan Love. Even though he didn't even play that well, Doubs is going to get those receptions with Christian Watson back in the lineup too. So Doubs, if he's available, go pick him up. And then lastly, I have Josh Palmer for the Los Angeles Chargers. He has been seeing a much higher snap share and target share than first-round wide receiver Quentin Johnston has. So if you're going to have one of those Chargers, pick up Josh Palmer, because Mike Williams is out with a torn ACL. Palmer is your guy. And that's all we have for this segment. We're going to be right back after a short intermission for our perfect fantasy lineup predictions for Week 5. See you soon.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to WVUA 90.7 FM Tuscaloosa Student Section Fantasy Sports. We're going to jump right into our perfect fantasy lineup predictions for Week 5 of the NFL season. Let's start with Jake Reichert.
Alrighty. For my QB1 for this upcoming week in fantasy, I got the man that torched the quote-unquote best team in football last week. I got Josh Allen. He has completely picked himself up after his week one, whatever you want to call that. This week he plays Jacksonville, who has looked mediocre at best with their defense. And, I mean, it's simple as this. The Bills are playing out of their mind right now. If he continues to feed Stephon Diggs, it's only up here for the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen's my QB1.
I agree.
My QB1 this week, it's the man in Baltimore. Top 5 quarterback, Lamar Jackson.
Oh, I love it. This is awesome.
I've got him as my starting quarterback this year. People have been really discounting how well he's played this season.
Yep.
There's been a lot of talk that I've seen specifically on Twitter where people are like, oh, the Ravens are being held back by Lamar, whatever, yada, yada, yada. He scored 27.14 fantasy points in week 4. He scored 27 in week 3. He scored 22 in week 2. Against Cincy, Indianapolis, and Cleveland. Those are 3 very good defenses. He ran for over 100 yards 2 weeks ago. I would expect him to do the exact same against the defense that C.J. Stroud victimized last week.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he plays Pittsburgh. It might be in Pittsburgh, but I think Lamar beats them up this week. He's my QB1.
It's going to be a slaughter. Lamar Jackson's going to go crazy against that Pittsburgh defense. My quarterback could be a bit of a surprise because he just got outplayed by Zach Wilson on primetime. I'm going Patrick Mahomes against the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota just had themselves a decent week against the Carolina Panthers and Bryce Young. However, they were facing the Carolina Panthers and Bryce Young. That Panthers offense is just not good, so I'm not buying into that Vikings defense for a second. Mahomes, he's got to be angry after being outplayed for the first time in his NFL career and his college career by a quarterback. And that was Zach Wilson of all people on primetime. And I know Mahomes doesn't like that. Taylor Swift was in the audience watching Patrick Mahomes just throw mallards and get bailed out. So Mahomes, he's gonna light that fire within himself. He's thinking, man, I'm the best quarterback in the league. I'm going to go crazy this week.
Because that's awesome.
Yeah, and he's going to go
that was pretty spot
torch
on.
That Vikings defense. Taylor Swift's going to be in awe because Travis Kelce's going to have himself a week too. Mahomes is my QB1 this week.
I mean, before I get into my running back, I mean, shout out Zach Wilson.
Yep.
He outplayed Mahomes. I mean, he made three crucial mistakes that lost him the game. But kid balled out. Got to give him a lot of respect.
A ton.
Moving on to my two running backs, my RB1 is a guy that I hate to say I love this year because I am not an Eagles fan, but it's DeAndre Swift.
He is my
RB1 for this upcoming week against the Rams. The Rams defense is doing all right. They're pretty subpar would be a good word, but I mean Swift looks great in Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
and the Eagles are clearly loving the way that Swift is running the ball, and that, I mean, anybody running behind that O-line is going to do good, but DeAndre Swift looks like that his healthy Detroit self,
mm-hmm.
Even his college self. So I got DeAndre Swift as my RB1, and my RB2 is maybe another surprise, is Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs finally showed up this week, scoring 27 points. I mean, he couldn't reach over 10 in the first 3 weeks. I think he had 11 week three.
Yeah.
So he barely got into double digits. But Josh Jacobs is my RB2. I mean, the Raiders clearly have an elite running back in their backfield. I will not hesitate calling Josh Jacobs elite after what he did last year and
mm-hmm.
what he did. He's going to continue to do that. And surprisingly enough, the Green Bay defense has been pretty good, but the running backs are doing ninth best against that Green Bay front seven. I see Jacobs getting fed a lot. The Raiders clearly showed, they saw what they're going to get out of Jacobs if they feed him, and that's a lot of production.
All right, my RB1 this week is a guy who's very quietly been a top five running back in fantasy this year. He was picked in the first round. It's Bijan Robinson in
mm-hmm.
Atlanta. He plays Houston this week. The defense has been much better than expected. I still don't have a ton of confidence in their run defense, though. Still a lot of young guys, still a lot of question marks there. But Bijan has over 20 points in two games this season. He scored 18.7 last week. He went over 100 yards again. He was averaging 7.5 yards a carry last week.
That's ridiculous.
He's also
he was playing on Toy Story. So
Yeah. I watched that whole broadcast.
That was electric.
He's
that
also caught.
I apologize.
It was insane.
Dude, it was sick, actually, the Toy Story, like the animation
yeah.
they kept playing where they ran up the field.
Got to do it again.
Yeah, they got to put Russ on that. They should make it the Nickelodeon Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
mix it with
awesome.
Toy Story.
That'd
be the coolest thing ever.
That'd be crazy.
Slime the Toy Story character.
Oh.
He's also caught 19 passes this year, though. Back to Bijan. Anyways, he plays to the Texans this week. If you got Bijan, obviously you're starting him. So he's my RB1. My RB2, I mentioned him earlier, and my biggest surprise is it's David Montgomery in Detroit. If they're going to give him the ball 32 times in a football game, I really – like, I have no reason not to put him in a lineup if he's going to touch the ball that many times. 34.1 points last week, gets the measly Carolina Panthers this week, so I would expect another big game out of him. I think the Lions put up a lot of points, and I think anytime they're inside the 5-yard line, the ball is going to David Montgomery, and I would expect them to be inside the 5-yard line quite a bit this week against Carolina. So
mm-hmm.
David Montgomery is my RB2 this week.
Absolutely. I think that's a very, very good pick. My RB1 this week, much like Jake Reichert, I have Josh Jacobs against the Green Bay Packers. I think the Packers have just not been good against the RB this year. They've been letting up a ton of yards. Montgomery just went crazy against them. They've had some other situations. Bijan Robinson had a game against them. So I think the elite running backs are going to do very well against the Green Bay Packers, and that's why Josh Jacobs, who just torched the LA Chargers, he's going to do the same thing this week against Green Bay. You know, I think he gets himself maybe a touchdown or two. He's going to end up with like 30-something points. He's been phenomenal. So he's my RB1. RB2 this week, who has been a very like sleeper running back, a guy that who always scores a ton of touchdowns but never gets the recognition, that's James Conner for the Arizona Cardinals. He, for some reason, is always a high-end RB, RB2, maybe RB1, and he's always picked late in drafts. He never gets that recognition, probably because he's a Cardinal. However, that Cardinals offense has been way, way better than anybody.
Surprisingly good.
Yeah, anybody could have ever expected. Josh Dobbs has been very good. Even those receivers outside of Marquise Brown, like you said earlier, Michael Wilson, has been phenomenal. And I think James Conner is going to benefit off of that, being able to get more carries as they continue to get downfield. And he's going to be their red zone guy, that goal line guy. Conner's going to get all the touchdowns. This week he faces the Cincinnati Bengals, who have not been very good on defense either. Derrick Henry just torched them for a touchdown and a passing touchdown, which was pretty cool. So Conner, he's going to torch the Bengals this week. I think he has like a breakout performance, if you could say. And he's going to be my RB2. So RB1, Josh Jacobs. RB2, James Conner. There we go.
All right, my two wide receivers. I had a lot of fun creating this after watching this week's performances. A lot of fun, especially when it came to my wide receivers. Very unorthodox picks. So my wide receiver one, well, I don't want to say one and two. They're just my two receivers.
1A, 1B.
Yes. My first one is a rookie from Boston College, Zay Flowers.
Whoa, okay.
I mean, I like the Lamar hype train, but I'm going with Zay Flowers as a breakout receiver this week because the Steelers' secondary has been really bad.
Terrible.
And if they think ancient Patrick Peterson can guard the young rookie Zay Flowers, they got another thing coming for him this week. My only scare is when it comes to AFC North. We talked about this before about the Steelers and Browns game.
No points.
No points. Mm-hmm. It's just ground and pound football in between the tackles. That's my only problem with putting Zay Flowers on this list. But the Ravens are still struggling with staying healthy up front, even though we ran the ball extremely well against that number one ranked defense, the Cleveland Browns defense last week. So I see Lamar picking apart that secondary that's been atrocious. Zay Flowers is going to find the end zone. His first touchdown as a rookie, might I add. And I think he's going to have a big fantasy week. And my 1B wide receiver is Michael Pittman Jr.
Yes, I love
from
that.
From the Indianapolis Colts. He has had a very quiet year, weeks 1 through 3. He put up double. He had 23 points week 1, 13 points week 2. It was closer to 14, 13.6. Week 3 was 16. Last week, he did have a disappointing week with only 4 points. But I'm going to ignore that, because they're playing against the Tennessee defense, which has been very decent
up front.
They've
been very good against the run.
But the wide receivers are doing fourth best against Tennessee this year. So I like Michael Pittman Jr. I think Anthony Richardson's going to find Pittman, and he's been really sneaky good, like flat out. And I think Pittman is going to have a big week against Tennessee, and they're going to take care of business against the Titans because of Michael Pittman.
Yeah, I can see it happening.
I've got a little bit less of a fun pick. I'm just going to take Tyreek Hill. I mean,
when in doubt, take Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. I mean, he plays the New York Giants this week, and I've probably emphasized it far too much on this show that I don't believe in the New York Giants, and I don't think they're that good of a football
team.
Not at all. And I definitely don't think they can guard Tyreek Hill coming off a week where the Miami Dolphins just got embarrassed. Mm-hmm. Not to mention they're playing this game in Miami. So it's probably going to be hot still. It's October. I don't live in Miami, but I figure it's probably still blazing hot down there.
It's always hot.
Yeah, last week, Tyreek Hill, 5 targets, 3 catches, 58 yards, 1 carry for 14 yards. That was it. But look at the pattern we got here. Week 1, 44 points. Week 2, 15. Week 3, 30. Week 4, 10. Week 5, 50. That's what I'm thinking.
Wow.
Giants.
I will not complain. I mean.
Wow. I took me a second to realize what he just said.
Yeah, the Giants, they're not great. I'm going to take Tyreek Hill as my wide receiver one. He's looked fantastic as always, and I would expect him to bounce back in a Week 5 matchup at home. My wide receiver two is a little bit more fun. It's the 7th-ranked receiver in fantasy football right now, Nico Collins in Houston. He was real quiet in week three with 5.4 points, but he came out against that Pittsburgh defense that we mentioned have multiple times in the show. Seven catches, 168 yards, and two touchdowns on nine targets. Put up 35.8 points. Next week, he gets a Falcons defense that has performed slightly better than that Pittsburgh one this year, but I still don't have a ton of faith in that Falcons secondary outside of A.J. Terrell, who's been hit or miss so far this year. I think Nico Collins puts on a great show with C.J. Stroud balling out this year. I think they get it done again. That connection looks real nice.
I agree. I also want to mention super quick that none of us, I think for the first time in the history of this show, like, didn't mention Christian McCaffrey as one of our running backs. So that's a first.
Are you going to do it?
No, you're
going to put him in the flex?
I didn't put him in the flex. I didn't put him in the flex. I made a rule with myself. As a Niner fan, don't put Christian McCaffrey because he's going to be the RB1, but I got to be a little unorthodox.
I mean, it's okay. I literally just put Zay Flowers as wide receiver.
So let's get into my wide receivers. Much like Lincoln, when in doubt, go Tyreek Hill. I'm not going to go that way. When in doubt, go Justin Jefferson. I think that's a pretty solid option. He has been phenomenal throughout the entire season. He cooked Carolina last week. He's going to do the same thing against the Kansas City Chiefs, who just let Zach Wilson go berserk against them. Zach Wilson almost beat them. And I think Justin Jefferson and Kirk Cousins could do the same thing. Jefferson has been just lights out, top receiver in the NFL, and I think he does it once again against Kansas City. Legarius Sneed, I'm not sure how they're going to cover him. Trent McDuffie, I'm not sure if he's got it in him. It's definitely going to be I'm not going to say a slaughter, but Justin Jefferson, he's going to go crazy. I still think Chiefs pull it out, but Jay Jettis is going to have his day. As my wide receiver two, I have like two people, but they're on the same team. I have Cooper Kupp / Puka Nacua versus the Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia has been one of the worst teams in the NFL against the wide receiver this year, which is surprising because they have two all-pro corners in James Bradbury and Darius Slay. They just let Terry McLaurin go crazy against them, and the rest of the Commanders did very good too. So here's my thing. If Cooper Kupp plays limited this week, or if he plays at all, I think Puka Nacua is going to be your guy. He just had 31 this week. He's been having one of the top rookie seasons ever. He has more yards and receptions than Cooper Kupp did in his Triple Crown season through 4 weeks. So, I mean, there's that if you want to take it. But if Cooper Kupp plays and he's healthy, I think he's your guy. They wouldn't play him unless he's 100%. Because the offense runs through him. He's going to get his 20 targets, even coming off of, missing an entire season pretty much. Cooper Kupp, he's that guy. People forget he's possibly the top receiver in the NFL. Him and Puka Nacua, they're going to go crazy versus the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm sorry, Tutu Atwell, but you might have fallen out of a lot of rosters coming into week five. So that's my wide receivers, Justin Jefferson and Cooper Kupp / Puka Nacua. Whoever, take your choice. They're both going to go do well.
All right, let's hop into the tight end position. We talked about it earlier. The tight ends have been very underwhelming this year. Outside of Kelsey, who didn't even play week one, I'd say Andrews is
who
up there.
Also didn't play week one.
Yeah. Other than that, there really hasn't been like that tight end guy. We saw Dallas Goedert breakout season coming, not happening. So I'm going to have a little fun, and we talked about the Arizona Cardinal offense a little bit earlier, and I'm going to bring it back. I'm going to go with Zach Ertz as my tight end one this week. He's playing the Cincinnati defense, who's just been atrocious, to be completely honest. Like, I really do not know what is going on in Cincinnati.
The run defense has been good.
The run defense has been good, but they are just letting except for Derrick Henry this week.
It was a passing touchdown, though.
Yeah.
I'll let that slide.
So I'm going to go with Zach Ertz. He's tight end 10 in fantasy right now. He had 8 points week 1, 11.6 points week 2. He had a very rough 2.6 points against Dallas week 3.
That's the 1 week I started him, by the way.
And then he bounced back with 11.3 against San Francisco. I mean, there's nothing saying that Zach Ertz won't have a decent or even big week against the Bengals this week, just considering how bad Cincinnati's been. This is probably one of the games that Cincinnati will get their stuff back together and win against the Cardinals. But you never know. The Cardinals might have a little fun and go out there and beat the Bengals.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'm just going to stack with my quarterback here. I'm taking Mark Andrews in Baltimore. That Pittsburgh defense, I'm going to hammer it home. They have been flat out bad against everything through the air this season. The run defense and the pass rush have been your typical Steelers run defense and pass rush, but that secondary and those linebackers have been struggling all year long. I expect that to continue. Mark Andrews last week against an actually tough Cleveland linebacking core caught 5 passes for 80 yards and 2 touchdowns. I would expect him to do something similar to that this week against Pittsburgh. I think Lamar is going to have a big game. I think the Ravens have a big game, and I think if the Ravens have a big game, that means that Mark Andrews will have a big game. So he's my guy this week. He's still one of the top tight ends in fantasy despite missing week one, as we mentioned earlier. He's still tight end 5 this season, averaging 16 points a game. I would be excited if I have Mark Andrews this week against Pittsburgh.
I agree. So I'm going to go over to my tight end. He's the tight end 7 currently. And no bias, it's George Kittle. I think he's going to have that bounce back week. He was extremely disappointing, you know, week 4.
Is he playing right tackle or is he playing tight end
for
the Niners?
Okay, I don't want to hear it. He had left tackle. He had a decent week against the New York Giants. He had 16 points on a bunch of catches. And I think he's going to have himself a good day against the Dallas Cowboys on primetime. Kittle against the Dallas Cowboys is always a killer. He knocked him out of the playoffs the last 2 years. He had that one nice little one-hand catch against Trayvon Diggs.
Number 85 is eligible on the play.
Okay, yeah.
Let me check in with the ref real quick.
Yeah.
Also, okay. That New York Giants game that he blew up in, Brandon Ayuk.
I think they're going to have a heavy target on Christian McCaffrey and Brandon Ayuk, and I think they're going to leave George Kittle open on some plays. I think he's going to have himself a good day. I didn't go McCaffrey this week, so I'll throw in George Kittle, show my team some love. It's okay.
I'm not putting a single Bronco in this
lineup.
Yeah,
no, you have a good excuse not to.
Not one.
I think George Kittle goes from hopefully 20 points in a Niners win. If not, then I'd be very sad if they lose and George Kittle doesn't do well. So, Kittle, I'm going to put it in the air. He has himself a good week. Hopefully he gets his first touchdown of the season as well.
All right, let's hop into the flex position. I like this guy a lot. Considering I have him in 3 fantasy leagues and he finally played last week, and it's Christian Watson.
Mm-hmm.
Watson was on a very heavy snap count last week, only got 2 catches for 25 yards, but he did find the end zone. Of course Christian Watson found the end zone because that's all he did last year for the Packers was just score touchdowns at the end of that fantasy season. But Christian Watson is back. If he is not on a snap count this week, which I don't think he should be because he looked, there's been nothing that came out that he re-injured anything. It looked like he was healthy against last week against Detroit on Thursday Night Football. And this week, the Green Bay Packers are going against the Vegas defense, who's just been, they've been just torched left and right. If Watson's not on a snap count, he's going to find the end zone again like he consistently does, and he's going to get a lot more targets. Well, I mean, it just makes more sense. If he's on the field more, he's going to get more targets as a wide receiver 1. I like Christian Watson with his first real fantasy week this week.
I've got another guy in San Francisco. I got Brandon Ayuk as my perfect lineup flex next week. He put up 20.8 this past week against Arizona, 6 for 148. He didn't find the end zone this week, but still 20 points. He's finally healthy again after missing week 3 against the Giants. And I would expect him to get back to stay on track, against the Cowboys this week that's now missing Trayvon Diggs for the rest of the season. I think they'll feed him, and I think he's a guy. I think he's their guy on the outside. I think he's going to make Stephon Gilmore look like he is 29 or 30 years old or something like that.
Ooh, Gilmore?
Yeah.
Gilmore's like 30-something. He's like 33 or 34.
Shoot, he's older than even older than I thought
he
was.
He's been in the NFL since like 2010. He's been in the league forever.
But so Ayuk, unfortunately, we don't get to see the Brandon Ayuk Trayvon Diggs matchup. That would have been chills, but
I mean, Ayuk kind of owns Trayvon Diggs. If you would have watched in 2021.
I watched the playoff game where Trayvon Diggs did like 2 360s trying to find him.
Because Ayuk routed him up so bad. Oh, yeah.
I know, baby. I'll take Ayuk as my flex.
My flex, I didn't go Brandon Ayuk, even though I would love to. He's probably my favorite 49er. But my flex, I'm going to go with a guy who, as of about 10 seconds into week 1, a lot of people probably disregarded. And that's Garrett Wilson against the Denver Broncos. Garrett Wilson, as soon as Aaron Rodgers went down, fantasy owners dropped to their knees and started crying. However, with Zach Wilson's career reemergence against the Kansas City Chiefs this week, I think he can keep it going against the Denver Broncos, who have probably been the worst defense in the NFL. I'm sorry, Lincoln.
Bears are worse.
Oh, yeah, the Bears are worse. Well, we'll go 31 for the Broncos. We'll be generous.
That's a win for me.
Yeah. They've just been letting receivers go crazy on them left and right. DJ Moore had 27.
Gave 27 to Cole Kmet, too.
Yeah, Cole Kmet had 27, too, and that was against the Chicago Bears. And now you have a rejuvenated and more confident Zach Wilson – alongside Garrett Wilson, who is already one of the top receivers in the NFL as a sophomore. So I think he's going to have himself a big get-back week. He's going to go crazy. He's going to have his breakout game for the season. Everybody thought he was going to go crazy. And Garrett Wilson, he's my flex spot. I'm hoping for, like, maybe 30 points out of him. And that's being nice. But I think Zach Wilson's going to feed him the ball against Denver. I think it might be close. Hopefully. We'll see.
All right, let's wrap it up with the defense slot and the kicker slot. Defense, I had a hard time finding a great matchup for a defense, so I couldn't. It's a matchup. The two teams are playing each other, so either one of these defenses I think are going to be top defense. I couldn't choose, and it's the Bears or the Commanders on Thursday Night Football. That game is just bound to be just not good football. A lot of mistakes, just sloppy offense, and sloppy offense leads to lots of chances for defenses to make big plays and rack up sacks. Turnovers, even special teams. I mean, it's really just going to be a rough football game to watch on Thursday night. If you have anything else to do on Thursday night football, instead of Thursday night football,
do anything else.
Maybe do that instead of watch the Bears or Commanders play.
Read
but
book.
I think one of those defenses will have a big game, even both of them, if this game really pans out to be really rough. Put one of them in your lineup. For my kicker, I'm going back to Tyler Bass. I had him last week. He put up crazy points for the Bills. I mean, the Bills' offense is clicking, and when they don't click, they're automatically pretty much on the other side of the field, which leads to kicker fantasy points. Tyler Bass is going to be the kicker one again in fantasy.
This week, my defense, I'm going to Dent. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not picking the Broncos. They do play the Jets, though, so maybe they'll finally do something. I'm taking the Dolphins this week against the New York Giants, who I've been very critical of, as I mentioned earlier. The Dolphins have been a very stellar unit so far this season outside of last week, and they were rough in week one as well. They gave up 34 points to the Chargers. But they cause a lot of turnovers. And that's the biggest thing when I'm looking for fantasy points. I'm looking for a team that causes a lot of turnovers. They have two interceptions and three fumble recoveries so far this season in four games. They've also recorded 10 sacks as a unit. And the Giants' offense, and specifically the Giants' offensive line, is not very good. I would expect them to get to Daniel Jones. I'm expecting at least one fumble out of Daniel Jones. And I think the Dolphins' defense will have themselves a very, very good week this coming in week five. And my kicker is also Tyler Bass in Buffalo. He's been fantastic this season. I think after this week will be the kicker one once this 14 point sets in. But yeah, it's Jacksonville. Their defense is just good enough to keep Buffalo out of the end zone enough as to where Bass can get some work in. And even if Buffalo scores a bunch of touchdowns, I mean, this week they scored a bunch of touchdowns and he had 14 points. So Tyler Bass is a go-to guy, and I would expect him to have another good week against Jacksonville.
All right, let's get into my defense so I can wrap it up. Defense, I'm going to have the Saints against the Patriots. The Patriots were not good at all against the Dallas Cowboys. Again, the Cowboys probably one of the best defenses in the NFL. But, I mean, with the way Mac Jones played and the rest of that offense, I'm pretty sure any defense would have done well. As a man who lives with a very defeated Patriots fan, I'm pretty sure he would agree with me here. The Saints gave up 17 points to Baker Mayfield and the Bucs this week. And, I mean, I think the Bucs are a decent offense, and I think the Saints' defense played well. Marshawn Lattimore did his part. I mean, he kind of tripped up Mike Evans, had a little trouble there. But I think they're going to do well against the Patriots, who lack any true wide receivers. Ramondre Stevenson and Ezekiel Elliott have not really panned out as, you know, we thought we would. And then they're having even more quarterback controversy with Mac Jones getting benched for Bailey Zappe, and then neither of them even played well. So I think the Saints will capitalize on that controversy, capitalize on the Patriots' offensive misfortunes, and I think they have a big week against New England. As for my kicker, I have the most Baltimore man on the planet, Justin Tucker, against the Pittsburgh Steelers. We've already talked about how bad we think Baltimore is going to beat the Steelers, and I think Justin Tucker is going to play a part. I think at, like, with 4 seconds left in the half, Tucker's going to hit, like, a 60-yard field goal, get y'all some points.
He's going to break the record for 67 yards.
You think so?
He's going to get you 6 fantasy points.
Yeah, he's going to break his own record. I think Tucker's going to have himself a day against the Steelers, who don't have a good defense. The Ravens are going to have a lot of opportunities on offense, and that's going to give Justin Tucker a lot of opportunities as well. So
I am really worried, because the last time we were talking big time about the Ravens. They played the Colts and they lost.
Yeah.
So I'm
Lamar
just,
still played fantastic in that game.
Yeah, Lamar had a good week.
We have to hope for a good Baltimore week because there's nothing more exciting than the Ravens.
Perfect
lineup's
going to be rough if Baltimore doesn't show up. So.
Do you know what time they play?
Of course, it's a noon kickoff.
Oh, great. So the witching hour.
Yeah.
12 to 9 final score.
The witching hour is going to strike Baltimore. Hopefully not. They're all up in our perfect lineups. And that's all we have for you guys this week. Thank you all for tuning in to WVUA 90.7 FM Tuscaloosa and the Student Section Fantasy Sports Show. We'll see you all next Monday night. Peace.